That's very true. That's your number one talk radio station. Talk your number one talk radio station in the land of the brave. A very good morning to you. It's a Wednesday morning. How are you doing this morning? It's getting hot. It's getting hot on this part of the world. Hopefully, it is nice and cold wherever you are. So good morning. It's still a beautiful morning in the land of the brave. It is 18th of the month of February, 2026. Good morning to you. Welcome to, your number one talk radio station and Eagle FM. So thanks for joining us at this time. And, we love being in your company, and thanks for choosing us, to be in your company at this point in time. So thank you, David, for handing over the mic, and we are coming to you direct and live from the Ondangwa studio. So welcome. My name is Michael Chiavelli, and this is Unpacking the Day, your daily dose of what is really going on in business news, economic news, and political news. So every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, trends, and numbers that are making headlines. So we keep it clear and always curious, asking the questions that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. We are here to unpack what others are saying and spark meaningful conversation so you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your platform to unpack and to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So our time is about 3 minutes past the hour of 8. We will go all the way until 10 o'clock when we'll be handing over to Mbarangaja. We'll be coming with Kutha Mosha and that's Tate France. So good morning and welcome. You just right on time. Get in the class. So thanks for joining us. You most welcome. So as usual, what we do here, we go through history. We look what happened on this day in Africa. So, and today is February the 18th, and we have only have two major milestone to talk about today. So first, let's rewind to 1965. So on this day, the Gambian officially became an independent country. So this was the moment they said goodbye to British colonial rule. So the Gambians stepped up as a free nation within the Commonwealth, taking total control of its own future. But that's not all. Let's go even further back, all the way to 1827. So on the exact day, Foral Bay College opened its door in Freetown and Sierra Leone. Now, this was a huge first because it became the very first college in sub-Saharan Africa. So it was, and it wasn't just a school, it became the home. It became the home base for educating African leaders and thinkers for a generation to come. So that's a look at the history books for today. And let's do that again when you look at another day in the history on this day in Africa. So welcome. And let's quickly get to this commercial and look at what is our thought for the day. Good morning.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the R.
Yes, welcome. Our time is about 5 minutes past the hour of 8, and good morning if you're just joining us. So our thought for the day today, Wednesday, February the 18th, God gives nothing to those who keep their arms crossed. God gives nothing to those who keep their arms crossed. It's more or less like, karungia kwa felai. You know, the Proverbs means that good things, opportunities or blessing won't come to you if you stay idle, if you stay passive or do nothing yourself. So it's a way saying that you need to take action, put in effort or be open-hearted and engage in life rather than waiting for things to happen on their own. So the image of arm crossed suggests someone who is closed off and not participating. And the proverb contrasts that with the idea that success or support, whether from God, community, or life itself, comes to those who actively reach out or work towards their goals. So in other words, the proverb highlights personal initiative and openness. So blessing or benefit are more likely when you are willing to open your heart, to open your hands, engage with the world, and take responsibility rather than staying passive and expectant. So, whatever we decide to do, whatever decision or choices you're making today, so make sure that the proverb is actually encouraging us to take action and put in effort and be open and engage in life rather than waiting for things to happen on their own. So God gives nothing to those who keep their arms crossed. That's our thought for the day today. So good morning and welcome wherever you're listening us from. You're welcome. So today, what we can look forward to the show, what we have in store for you this morning. So the Namibian Parliament, Parliamentary Committee has accused the mining sector of systematically, you know, using subcontractors to slash wages and also benefits. So in that circumventing labor laws and creating a precarious working condition. So we're going to look at that. We're going to get into that. So I would invite you to unpack that with me. And if we still have time, so an on-site inspection in April will determine if Namibia's extensive financial reform are sufficient for the country actually to finally exit the FATF grey list. So that's the second story that we're going to look at, and I would invite you to unpack that with me. Of course, your participation will also be part of the show. So good morning, and when we come back, we get into this. So do this with me. Stay tuned.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna ii matina omjo. Chikao shafathana nana longi shifa yae shiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongo tisa mwene. Anange shifa ya Namibia ombito ombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayaguro nirandito mwa yoe yonge shifa yoe okupitiramo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwa shifareki uimwepo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma onora hitatu imwe. Datundatu heari hamano tano oniaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events. And basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
A very good morning to you. So the UNAM Readiness Program, the University of Namibia is pleased to announce the continuation of UNAM Readiness Program in 2026 for equitable access to higher education. The program is specifically designed for prospective students aiming to enroll in UNAM undergraduate qualification, excluding professionally regulated programs. The readiness program is intended for learners who have done NSSCAS, NSSCO, NSSCH, and HESCE, and HCSE, or equivalent, but do not meet the minimum UNAM admission requirement. Applications are completed online via the UNAM website, www.unam.edu.na/online-application. Prospective students are encouraged to apply by 20 February 2026 and consult official UNAM platform for admission requirements. So that's UNAM Readiness Program for 2026. And apply by 20 February 2026. So welcome back. And let's get into what we have for you at this very, very, very morning. So, and welcome and good morning to you. Welcome to Unpacking the Day. So my name is Mike Oshoveli. And today we're turning our focus on the mining sectors. Returning our focus on the mining sector. So now think about this, okay? Just imagine you're working at the mine. You're working at the mine and maybe you have been there for years. Yeah, let's say you have been there for years. You know the job. You know the risk. You have built your life around that steady paycheck and those benefits. So then one day, management call you in and say, hey, Brur, we are restructuring. We are letting you go. Oh, that would make heart sink, really. So, but wait. They tell you, that's good news. You can come back. You can come back. Same job, same mind, same work. But there's a catch. So there is a catch. You won't be working for the mining company anymore. You won't be working for us anymore. You will be working for a subcontractor. And suddenly, your pension is gone. Your job security is gone. Your wages, well, is slashed. Maybe probably slashed in half or maybe with 30% or whatever the case may be. So, and this is not a fiction. Okay, this is not a fiction. This is the reality that the parliamentary committee has just uncovered in our mining sector. So that's what we are going to unpack today. So before we get into that, let's have pay the rent. Okay, pay the bills. And we will be back after this.
Omutiha gutekirwa kaguna imatina omjo chikao shafasa nana longeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana iye moyawo otaingongotisa mwene anageshifa ya Namibia ombitombwa nawa olonjika zeitha nina omayakuro nirandisoma.
There's no price like the ShopRite price. We commit to bring you lower prices on all the essentials you need, like 2 kg real good frozen mixed chicken portions for only $99.99 and 500 grams Polana elbows, macaroni or spaghetti pasta for just $13.99 each. Never pay more than the ShopRite price. Valid until 22 February 2026. Only at ShopRite. Catch Ready, Steady, Cook on One Africa. Proudly brought to you by ShopRite Namibia.
When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
you get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know, you love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the you in UNAM is you.
Well, it will always be you. So welcome back. Welcome back. So, ladies and gentlemen, well, our mining companies are playing a game. So they are playing a game where workers are the pieces. Okay. You know, that's a game where you are the pin. Now the workers are the pieces and the prize is bigger profit at the expenses of ordinary Namibians. Now, the Parliament Committee on Poverty Eradication and Labor, visited 11 mines across the five regions. What they found will make you actually shake your head. You know, not in agreement, but of course, you know, like, it shouldn't be. No. All right. The committee chairperson presented these findings in Windhoek recently, and the committee discovered a pattern, you know, and I want you to hear this word, pattern, okay? They discovered a pattern, meaning that this is not one bad apple, but something very systemic, all right? So the mining companies are retrenching permanent employees, and then turn around and rehiring those same workers through a subcontracting company. So they do rehiring them, those the same people that the workers that they have retrenched through now subcontracting companies. Now, same person, same job, different contract. So, but that different contract means everything changes for the worker. So now, why would companies actually do this? Well, let's follow the money. Okay. Follow the mullah. All right. When you are a permanent employee, the mining company has a legal obligation to you. Okay. They have to pay you have to pay you a decent wage. They have to contribute to your pension, and they have to give you job security and follow a strict retrenchment procedure if they want to let you go. So that's normally what would a company do. Okay. Those are requirements or regulations that, or laws, the laws require you to actually to do that. But when they hire you through a contractor, suddenly those obligations become fuzzy. You know, the mining company can say, well, hey, you don't work for us anymore. You can't have all those benefits anymore because you're not working for us anymore. So talk to your subcontractor about your problems. So they can say that. So now the problem now is the workers are doing exact the same job, but completely different pay slip. You know? So we're talking reduced wages, no pensions, and of course a constant anxiety of not knowing if you have a job, next month or so. So because you are on a contract. So, and let me paint a picture for you. Okay. Let me just give you some. You know, imagine two workers at a mine in a Rongo region, or anywhere where there is mining. So let's call them Joseph and Matthews. Okay. Matthews. Okay. Let's call them Joseph and Matthews. They have worked side by side for 10 years. They operated the same machinery. They faced the same danger, underground. Let's even make it interesting. They even share lunch together. Now, Joseph is a permanent employee. He earns a decent salary. He has a pension fund waiting for him when he retires. and his family is covered by medical aid. He sleeps at night, you know, knowing that if he gets sick, he will still receive a salary. His job is protected by the Labor Act. Got that? Now, Matthew, on the other hand, Matthew was retrenched 2 years ago. The company said, well, times were tough, man. Times were tough. They had to let some people go. But then, a week later, Matthew got a call. He got a call. A subcontractor wanted him back. Same mine, same job, same equipment. But now, Matthew earns 30% less. No pension, no medical aid, no job security. So, he can be, you know, he can be let go tomorrow without any warning. Now, that sounds, well, that's not just unfair. This is a systemic strategy that the committee say it's happening across the entire mining sector. So now, that's a systemic strategy that is actually happening across the whole mining sector. So, from the uranium mines in Erongo to the diamond operation in the south. So, workers are being squeezed, if you like. Now, there's also something else. There's also something very, very interesting and tricky, if you want. Okay? The committee has identified what they call the new kid on the block. So the new kid on the block, voluntary separation packages. Voluntary separation packages. I have heard that. I have actually someone working in mine, who actually told me have taken that package. But in a big company, very big company, I'm not going to mention the name, but one of those big one mining company. So, and that sounds like a good deal. It sounds like a good deal. Voluntary. Like you have choice, like you have a choice. Huh? You volunteer to, you know. So, but the committee chairperson said this is being used to bypass Section 34 of the Labor Act. Under our Labor Act, Section 4, there are strict rules for retrenchment. So they are using this, you know, a voluntary separation packages actually to bypass Section 34 of our Labor Act. Now, the Labor Act have strict rules for retrenchment. Companies must follow proper procedures. There are procedures. You must give notice. They must pay severance. Yeah. They must consult with workers, with their unions. And these are all there to protect, you know, and I think these protections exist for a reason. They exist for a reason. They exist to prevent workers from, you know, from being toasted, you know, toasted aside, like maybe like a used tissue paper. You know what I mean? All right. So, but here's the loophole. Okay, here's the loophole. Voluntary separation is different. It is presented as a mutual agreement between employer and employees. The workers agree to leave. Now, the company pays the package. So, and everyone shakes hands and part ways. But here is the catch. Okay? Here is the sneaky, you know, tricky intention, I would say. Because it's supposedly voluntary. The strict retrenchment rule do not now apply because it's an agreement between the employer and the employee. So now the committee is saying this is being used as a backdoor to bypass workers' protection. So workers feel pressured to accept these packages. So they sign papers. They might not even fully understand what they are signing. So you find yourself in a position which was said, well, this it's a position that has been affected. And, well, you in the long run, you might not have a job. But if you want, you can take actually a voluntary a separation package, you know? And then knowing, well, I might not have a job in months' time or whatever. Let me... So you see, eh? And then, surprise, surprise, many of them end up back at the same mine working for a subcontractor with worse condition. Now, with actually a worse condition. So, why should I be concerned about this? Okay, why should you be concerned about this? Well, you should, actually. You definitely should. Mining is our backbone. It's the backbone of our economy. Now, when mining workers are exploited, it ripples through our entire society. Now, think about the town that that depend on mining, that depend on mines. We have Arandes, we have Carasberg, we have Rospina. Well, we have other towns as well. When workers earn less, now you're now employed by subcontractors and you pay it less. When the workers actually earn less, they spend less in local shops. So that's actually, you know, your spending has become less. So when they have no pension, let's say, for example, they have no pension anymore, they become dependent. Now they become dependent on the government grant when they retire. Yeah? So when they have no job security, families live in a constant anxiety. So you're just worried. When would he come home and he has no job? So it also affects our tax base. It affects our social welfare system. So it affects the children of these workers, maybe who cannot afford proper education. You know, the exploitation of few thousand miners, you know, the exploitation of few thousand mine workers becomes a burden on millions of Namibians. So that's how you should be worried. You should be, you know, concerned about this. And well, the other thing is that let's not forget the bigger picture. Let's not forget the bigger picture. We fought for independence. We fought for independence. We fought for dignity. So we fought for Namibians where every workers would be treated fairly. So is this the Namibian our freedom fighter dreamt of? Is this the Namibia our freedom fighter dreamed of? A Namibia where companies can dodge the law by hiring workers through the middlemen? Is that the Namibia our freedom fighter dreamed of? Definitely not. Definitely not. So let's talk about something even more serious, which is actually safety. Now, the International Labour Organization representative at the event raised an alarm bells. You know, as they said, you raise an alarm bells. Mining is already one of the most dangerous workplaces in the world. You are dealing with heavy machinery, explosives, deep underground tunnels, you know, toxic chemicals. So the ILO official noted a concerning rise in safety incidents. Now, he was citing a recent Chamber of Mine report. This is coming from the those report. There is this a concerning rise in safety incidents. Now, connect the dots. When you have subcontracted workers who are underpaid, undertrained, always worried about their next paycheck, what happened to safety? We're going to look at that after this commercial.
Great news. IMPA just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of IMBA? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything IMBA has to offer at an unbeatable price. IMBA, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
All right, welcome back. All right. So, I was talking about the, at the event, the LO, ILO official noted, a concerning rise in safety incidents. And, as I said, when you have a subcontracted workers who are underpaid, undertrained, and probably always worried about their next paycheck. So what happened to safety? So you have a worker who fears losing his job tomorrow. That kind of worker is less likely actually to report unsafe conditions. Or a worker who has, of course, if you have no job security, you are more, you are less likely actually to refuse a dangerous work. Yeah, you're less likely to refuse actually dangerous work, and a worker who receive minimal training because the subcontractors want to cut cost, is more likely actually to have an incident. You see, the situation as it is, it's really contributing to exactly what the LOL official noted, that concern, the concerning rise in safety accident, because the environment has been just conducive enough in terms of safety. Has just created that dangerous conditions in terms of safety. So now the committee chairperson said something very important. The responsibility for safety cannot be delegated away from, cannot be delegated away through subcontracting. When a worker dies in a mine, it does not matter if he was employed directly or through a subcontractor. So he is still dead. His family is still mourning. So tragedy is the same. It doesn't matter. So that's the chairperson saying that the company, you know, the mining should still take responsibility. Bear in mind, these are the mining that we're talking about, the mines that we're talking about, these are foreign-owned mines. Eh? So these are most of these are foreign-owned mines. So, and by dodging, you know, the law for profit, that actually should be a problem for us. It should be something that we look at that seriously. Okay. So, and the report also touched on something that affect, well, the balance of power. So trade unions, when workers are employed directly by the mining companies, they can organize. When they work, when you have this number of people worked for the company, they can organize themselves. They can join the unions. They can campaign or bargain. They can bargain, you know, collectively. So they have strength in numbers, okay? But when workers are scattered across dozens of subcontractors, what happens? They become harder to organize because you have three there, you have 10 there, you have whatever, you know, with each subcontractor, and each subcontractor has a small number of workers. So these workers are in dangerous position. So they may fear that joining a union or demanding a better condition will cost them actually their job. So you are here now demanding, hey, there are other people, hey, we can always, when you're in subcontracting, people will always threaten you. Okay, there are a lot of other people who want jobs here. So you will be afraid. They will be afraid of joining, you know, the union or demanding better conditions. So you can see where our people actually, in what condition our people are put. Eh? And this is not an accident. This is a fragmentation by design. Okay? It's a fragmentation by design. So the weaker the union, the easier it is to keep wages low and condition poor. It is by design. Yeah? So our labor movement found, if we think of our, as I said, when always, think of always the bigger picture. So our labor movement in the past fought hard for the right we have today. They fought hard for the right we have today. Are we going to let clever corporate structures take those rights away? So are we going to do that? So the report also examined corporate social responsibility. Now, mining companies love to talk about how they give back to the communities. They build schools. They donate to charities. They put up, you know, those nice billboards about caring for Namibians. They love doing that. But genuine corporate responsibility starts with how you treat your own workers. And if you're treating this way, you cannot claim to care about a community while exploiting the people who live in it. So you cannot build a school with one hand while taking away worker pension with the other. Yeah? So that's exactly what's happening. So, and also, the remember, as I said, these are foreign-owned mines, and we normally talk about skill transfer, you know, and that has been also a concern. That's another concern. How do workers gain skills and advance in their careers when they are stuck in subcontracting limbo? Yeah? How would they develop? How do they gain and develop their advance their career? Permanent employees get training, they get mentorship, they get promoted. Subcontracted workers stay in the same position for years with no path forward. Huh? So, and that's some of these companies, this mining are definitely avoiding. So, yeah, what is the need? What is the way forward? What is the path forward? So where do we go from here? The parliamentary dialogue was meant now, that this dialogue was actually meant to bring industry players together to find solution. That was the reason. And I think that's a start. So, but we need more. I think we need more than talk. There comes a time for Namibia, really. This is a time where we need more action rather than talk. We are tired of talk. No, man. We need action. This should have been years. It should have been a year of action. You know, make it Sankwasa year. It should be a year of action. Sankwasa year. It should be a Sankwasa year. Now, first, our lawmaker need to close that loopholes. There's a loophole. If voluntary separation is being now abused to bypass retrenchment protection, the law needs to then address this. Yeah? So because definitely here there's a loophole. So our law shouldn't be defeated. You know, the purpose of the law should not be defeated by creative corporate lawyers. Because these are corporate lawyers that are coming up with, you know, this creative way of voluntary separation packages. Eh? So, and this is something that is failing in Namibia. We need strong enforcement. So we need strong, much of our laws are very good, very good. Good laws, and always end up on paper. So laws on the books mean nothing if company can ignore them without consequences. So they ignore these laws and there's nothing happened to them. Yeah? And remember, much of these are our employers, these are our workers, these are our people that are being exploited. These are our people being exploited. So, and much of these companies, they can ignore them, they can ignore the laws without any consequences and any consequences. So the labor in inspectorate need resources because sometimes they don't have resources and they need teeth. They need teeth. They need to bite. Eh? And sometimes these are also people who are on the payroll as well, you know, of these companies. Not officially, but you see, you are just, hey, man, just say everything is good. It's okay. Eh? And also, the mining company themselves, they need to step up. They really need to step up. If the allegations are true, and the committee says they found this pattern across all mining corporations, then the industry has a moral obligation to fix it. Profit cannot come before people. No matter what, profit cannot come before people. And we as citizens, we need to pay attention. We need to pay attention. We need to be a learned citizen. We need to be informed citizen. Eh? If we need change, that's what we need to be. And we have to understand this, whoever they are, these are our brothers and sisters. They could be your cousin, could be your brother, could be your neighbor. These are fellow Namibians. When workers are exploited, it's all of our business. It's all of our business. That's why we bring it here. This is your business. What do you think? Eh? What do you think? Now, what is your reaction to this? You can come through. Our telephone number is 08-0833-66091. 08-0833-66091. So we're coming to you live from the Ondangwa studio. So what is your reaction?
08-333-66091. Anangeshefa ya Namibia, ombito mbwana wa oronjika. Zeithani na omayakuro ni randito mwa yoe, yongeshefa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nena. Kara omkwashipareki uimwepo yomo programa detu. Moambo, dengera selma, konora heta tuimu. Datu ndatu, heari hamano tano, oneyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Yes, that's right. We are your eye. So welcome back. Our time is about 44 minutes past the hour of 8. A very good morning to you. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Mike, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
When I tune now again, I'm only hearing David speaking with the program that he had this morning.
David speaking?
Yes. When I tune in, so I don't know, because for you, I've been listening to you. But just about 10 minutes ago now,
yeah.
To see him now instead of listening to you.
Okay, what's going on? Okay, technical people, what is going on? Is it everybody hearing the same thing? So let me know. Let me know. Yeah,
but I can go ahead with my thing.
Hmm.
Yeah, so it's important that, this is sometimes, let's thank God first for those who have said that they have passed away. And even though they are legal instruments, sometimes people just, you know, bypass those ones.
Yeah.
And it's not a good thing, actually, to, if you are to employ people on that format, and then they always exploitation, economic exploitation in all these other areas. And you are actually using the labor of those people to create wealth.
Yeah, and if they actually found the loopholes where they actually, you know, avoid what they should be doing. Yeah.
Those are the areas that we need to watch out. And then, they have discovered, there are so many loopholes when it comes to our policies, laws. Even there, they are intact. Or people just invent them and then do other issues.
Yeah.
Other things. So it's required that I, for example, I used to be a shop steward.
Yeah.
At New York those years. And this was very critical when hearing the Kapendas and the Peters and others.
Yeah. But the most painful thing is that most of these companies are foreign owned, and what they're doing in this is for profit. You know, it's definitely for profit. And then that profit is not even for our people. It's our people who are being exploited. So I think this is something really, really, really serious. And I think we need to look at that very, very seriously.
I think it might also be, might have been the issue that prompted the president, to find out that some of these things need to be really controlled and monitored, and so that we don't see how people were manipulating the fish and the oil and all these other things that you are talking about. So that is how the reform is necessary.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's not necessary about the reform to reform our behavior. And our attitudes toward doing things. So, because I think many a times people are doing it deliberate, and I don't think it's ignorant.
Yeah. No, it's not ignorant. The thing is that, like in this case, and in most cases, like someone who said the other time that Namibian doesn't make to have new policies and all things. We have the policies, we have the law, we have the regulation. The problem we have in our country is reinforcement. Is the implementation of those policies. And this is sometimes from our own people. Eh? It's our own people who is not being reinforcing this. And in the process, we are disadvantaging our own self.
Now, reinforcing the policies, I think that it might also not lie much with the parliamentarians or those political leadership. But because you have got those technocratic, technocracy, those who are really working in the civil servant, I mean, those, what is it? The non-governmental organization also.
Yeah. What lies with the lawmaker is that if they found something that there's a loophole, come up with a law that is more strict. You understand? So that's what lies with them. But other decision also lies with maybe with the board or maybe with, with the ministry or whatever the case may be, whoever is responsible. So, but you also have then to come up with strict rules that prevent the abuse of the law.
Yeah. I think it's just to take ourselves to account. So the leaders that have mentioned, all those who are now there to operationalize those plans, the strategy. So if we are not doing that, there's also a time to, maybe we are not questioning them. We are not also telling them that these are loopholes. We should also be examining those things. For example, like it was being spoken about the launch of the informality that was launched. They are saying all the people are represented there. So everyone has his own work to do. Perhaps we are also not doing that. But if there are loopholes and we are not implementing those plans to our own disadvantaging ourselves, yeah, it's a corrective thing, task that we need to engage in, I think, and create more awareness like you are doing. So I think it's fine, Mike, for now.
Yeah,
it's enough for now for me.
All right. Thanks for coming through.
Welcome, sir.
All right. All right. So what is your reaction to the mining that are playing games? So I'll call it playing games. Well, the parliamentary committee found a systematic pattern where permanent workers are retrenched and rehired through subcontractors with inferior conditions. Now, with inferior conditions. So, same work, worse pay and benefits. So, that's a pattern that the parliamentary committee have, you know, found. So, and voluntary separation packages. So, those are some, you know, new ways of, you know, dodging the law. And so, voluntary separation packages are being used as a loophole to bypass Section 34 of the Labor Act. So, which protects workers during retrenchment. So, very good morning to you.
Yes, Dr. Mike.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine, man. Yourself?
Lovely, man.
Yeah, it's Namibia. New day, new challenge.
I'm telling you, every day we are having the bad news. this one is regarding to the radio. I think maybe Uncle Juan is listening to what through the app, maybe.
Okay.
No, the radio is very clear.
Oh, it is fine.
Or maybe she's not in window. Because in window, let them say where I am, in window.
Okay.
Yeah, we can hear you proper. Oh. There's nothing else. But maybe if it's listening to app, then it's maybe went to broadcasting.
Yeah.
That's why it's happening, yeah. But anyway, let us go to the topic. You know Mike, no?
Yeah.
Mike, me, I'm just tired. Every time we are editing the report, but there's no action taken.
Mm.
What we want now, we want something like, you know, there's a punishment going to these people, what they done.
Mm.
They have to pay all until, I mean, if a person was working for a permanent, now they become a temporary. They have to pay, take pay for that person for when it's in the contract.
So the company has to be punished somehow.
Yeah, you know? There must be a punishment. Sake of talking, no, it's nonsense. We are tired of that. And I think we pass even that stage of us complaining every time. I mean, people are, politicians are complaining like us, the way we are talking down on the radio. Yeah. But they are having a power.
Mm.
They come to the media like they are reporting, but they are like, they cannot do anything. No, man. That's
what I always say, that when you listen to leaders, they speak in a suggestive kind of language. It's not like, okay, next year, or this is what we're going to do. So people are talking, we should have beneficiated, our raw material must be beneficiated.
Instead of saying,
we have a strategy, we have a strategy, by next year, this is what we're doing, by next year, we expect that this is what, you want to know, this is what is going to happen.
Exactly, and they want also to hear the feedback, what happened to those companies.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we are not complying with the law. Yeah. Because if a law is there, why everybody not speaking to that law? Because remember, some are getting punishment through that law, but some are getting away with it. And I'm telling you, Mike, to make it the matter worse, is that our politicians, some of even owing the, JPF or something, borrow money.
Yeah.
Some of them are having contract companies in those mines.
Mm.
I know a few where my cousin was working there also, and it was a contract also.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you that the one who are having shareholders on that white people. Some of that is in Orange Mount. I don't just know what to mention because everybody know who I'm talking about.
So but I'm telling you, the problem with our workers now, they are not getting what they, even if they are being retrenched, they are not getting the package that they should get. when you get no voluntary separation packages. You know?
My God, even the matter was even the salary which they are getting is not about the salary which they are supposed to get. Because you cannot tell me a company, the difference maybe can be what? Even 12,000.
Yeah.
With a contract. That makes sense. If, let them say now we are having a company, then they're hiring the what? But the difference is 12,000. Let them say now like you are looking for, like now just the worker who was working for
and you probably you're going to do, and you're going to do exactly the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe they want to get 30,000. Now they are getting more or less 14. You just imagine. From 30 to 12 because you are now a contract. Yeah? What does it tell you? The problem, I think, is our position who are involved in this. That's why those days, what I'm saying, if you look what's been before 95, my friend, everybody in the house, in Mambuland, they will be like smelling those head office.
Yeah.
But, because our position, they are involved. I'm telling you, you even end up tired.
Yeah, no. We but it's true. We used to complain about fish. Actually, we have also people working in Netherlands.
But you don't have anybody even working in Wasby. Maybe it's just your neighbor. But when he coming, he makes sure that all the house they're getting something. But today, my friend, even the guys working in the sea.
Why
for them, they, when they are getting involved, then they forget that we cannot do the same what they done. So we cannot go outside to come and neglect for us, for ourselves, because now we are put in the corner where they are eating with their masters, which they are fighting before. But if you see, I'm telling you, you're even, if you check, I'm even given everyone of the position kids, but if you check the profile of that kid, just about the Chinese, the friend, just Chinese and European. But you're wondering now, is this business near the Namibian friend or what? I'm telling you, it's what is happening. But you are here trying to make everything right, one Namibia, one nation, but you are not doing the same when you come to Portugal. And it's a hard time, I think, this contract must end. Because the one thing is that the person who is working in the mine, they are having, their lifespan is not that. Can reach up to even 90.
Yeah.
Because this reason they start developing a lot of diseases. Now you are in contract for more than what? 10 years. And you get now you are in your retirement. What are you benefiting getting? What are you getting? Now you are having a lot of complication when it comes to medical.
Yeah.
But you cannot afford it because you've been in contract. It's a hard time, my friend. If you look, even those people who are doing, those contractors who are there, they need to, people need to, they are checking their books. Because the way they are paying people.
I look at the report and I said, why aren't we taking this seriously?
No, I'm telling you, the way they talk like that, they already solve the problem. But nothing happened, nothing to happen to them. I'm telling my word, maybe, We need to see action from here, because that is, remember one thing, that the mine and whatever is under the office now. We need a full report when it comes to this action. What did they did that done with those companies who are not complying with Namibian law? Otherwise, if it has nothing happened, then it will be continuous as business as usual.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because my friend, you cannot tell me up to now we still people going for labor hire. And you say there was nothing going to happen like that, because that's what they take people to go to for war. And some they lost even their life.
Yeah.
That's why we are today celebrating their blood or what our freedom, but is this how it's supposed to be?
Yeah.
A person who just come with the money, and now they are cheating our resources with the cheap labor.
And these are all foreign owned mines, believe me.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
That's why in the mine, if you're following us, especially the Chinese, if you go there, all the people are in the office. Maybe you just want one to come home and But all the posts which are having a good salary are Chinese.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell me we don't have those experts? We don't have those engineers supposed to be there.
Actually, by now we should have actually, you know, trained and sent some people to, you know, yeah.
No, people we do. We have them. Yeah. That's why some students they prefer when they get trained, they never come back to Namibia because they know they are not going to be used.
Yeah.
What do you think when you have people who are even living in Ukraine with the war, but it's a qualified doctor, but he prefers to live there? What do you think so? Huh? Where you can die anytime. He's taking a chance to stay there because he knows that if you come to Namibia, it's a waste of time. Huh? And we are here crying, we send them to go to study. Yeah. But when they come back, we don't give them the opportunity. What did they need it? No, man, Mike.
Right.
Anyway, Mike, let me give other people a chance.
No, thanks for coming through.
Yes, sir.
All right. All right. A very good morning to you. Welcome to Unpacking the Day. So, as I said, we're looking at the Parliamentary Committee report that find out that there's a systemic pattern where permanent workers are retrenched and rehired through a subcontractor with inferior conditions, with the same work, but worse pay than before and benefits. So there's also a new kid on the block, as the parliamentary committee have said, the voluntary separation packages, which are being used as a loophole, you know, to bypass Section 34 of the Labour Act, which protect workers during the retrenchment. So, and also the other issue that comes out of the report is issue of safety. Safety concerns are rising, and contracting arrangement cannot absorb mining companies of their responsibility for worker safety. This also affects Namibians, because mining is a central to our economy. It's central to our economy, and exploited workers becomes a burden of our social system. We somehow need to legislative form. Sometimes it's maybe not legislative reform, but enforcement of those legislative. So, but we need maybe legislative reform, strong enforcement, and also really, really a corporate accountability, and it's public awareness as well to address this issue. We need public awareness, and that's what we try to do. To do here. So, yeah, the conversation is far from over, I think. It's not, it's far from over, I think. So the official report will name, from what they say, they will name specific companies later in the official report and provide more details. As I said, that's why I said this conversation is not over. We will be watching closely, and we'll keep you informed. So we'll keep informed. So because at Unpacking the Day, we believe that information is power. When we understand what is happening in our country, we can demand better. Only when you understand what is happening that you can be able to demand better. It's only when we can be able to hold our leaders accountable. It's only when we stand. Information is power. So, and we can build Namibia that our people deserve. Okay? It's only when then we can be able to build Namibia that our people deserve. So what is your take? 08333-66091. 08333-66091. So do come through and have your reaction to our first story. Otherwise, when we come back, we'll get into our second story of the day.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn, our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna I matina omjo. Chikao shafa sana na longeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongoti samwene. Anageshifa ya Namibia ompito ombwa na wa olonjika. Seitha nina omayakudo ni randitoma yoe yongeshifa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tu imemeha uka kombanga nina. Kara omkwashi paregi uimwepo yo mo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma konorahi tatu imwe. Datu heari hamano tano o niyari. Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
A very good morning to you. And you are tuned into Unpacking the Day on Eagle FM. So welcome. So you're not too late. Thank you for joining us at this point in time. So there's still a lot that we still have to talk about on the show. So welcome. So yes, let's move on. Let's move on our second story. In this segment, we're talking about facing a make or break audit. Make or break audit in April. It's coming in April to finally exit the FATF, the Financial Action Task Force, grey list. So, okay, let me paint the picture for you. Okay. For me to remember and understand, you know, things, I always, you know, like to give those scenarios, and you know, that's how I picture. I understand things better. So now imagine you're applying for a job, okay? And your CV looks fantastic on paper. So you have got all the qualifications, all the certificates, but then comes the interview day. Now the moment where someone actually check if you can walk the talk. So that is exactly where Namibia find itself right now. Okay? That's where we find ourselves right now. So it was February 2024, Namibia wakes up to the news that sent, you know, shockwaves through our financial sector. We have been placed on something called the FATF grey list, the FATF grey list. Now, think of the Financial Action Task Force or the FATF as a global watchdog, you know, as a global watchdog for financial system. So this is a global watchdog for financial system. So they are like, if you talk in terms of a referee, I mean, in terms of football, they are like the referee in football match, except this match involves countries and their ability now to fight dirty money. Okay. So when the FATF put a country on its grey list, it's like blowing the whistle and say, hey, hold on, hold on, hold on. Something is not right here. So something is not right there. It's a foul. Huh? There's something not right there. So Namibia now was flagged for 13 strategic weaknesses. We are flagged with 13 strategic weaknesses, 13 areas where our financial defenses had holes. It's kind of like our financial defenses have holes. So that's what we were flagged with, those 13 strategic weaknesses. Now, we're talking about things like our banks. We're talking about that, things like that. Our banks and financial institutions were not being supervised properly. Okay? Those are one of those things that, well, your banks are not really supervised properly. So we couldn't track who really own certain companies. You remember when we did those beneficial ownership transparency? So that's also one thing that we could, through that financial systems, who really owns certain companies? It could be owned by mafia. It could be owned by terrorists. It could be owned by, you understand? So the beneficial ownership that the process that we, most of the company went through, or face the closure. You remember that? So, and critically, we were not prosecuting enough money laundering cases. So we had the law on paper, but we aren't enforcing them. Same thing that we talk about. We Namibia, we really have this disease. We really have this disease of not enforcing laws, of not enforcing policies. I think we, higher education institution, please, or any some other research organization, please, I beg you. You know, you need to get into this. We need to find the solution. We need to find the problems. We have a problem of implementation. We have a problem of enforcement. What is going on? Everything is just about this is, you know, that's the top thing. Every time when the reasons why certain things haven't been done, why the project hasn't been done, why there are issues here, is enforcement. So why this is important? Not enforcement. The whole grey listing, you know, of Namibia. So it's because when Namibia get grey listed, when we get grey listed, now you can think of like international banks start actually treating us like a risk. When you are sending money. When you're sending money abroad, it becomes more expensive, and it becomes more complicated. It doesn't matter whether it's bank or you as an individual, you know. Then the foreign investors, they get nervous because you are listed as a risk. And our banks have to, you know, when you are doing transactions, you know, our banks then have to jump through extra hoops just to do normal business. So it's like being put on a financial blacklist, kind of like you are put on a financial blacklist. Not fully banned, you are not banned, but definitely not trusted. So when you are gray listed, it's actually say, you cannot trust this country. Okay? You cannot trust the financial system, of this country. Not you cannot trust the country, but you cannot trust the financial system of this country. So it could be owned by the terrorists, could be owned by a terrorist organization. It could be owned by mafia from Italy or could be from America as well. It doesn't matter. So yeah, that means that what it means is that you definitely cannot be trusted when you are gray listed. So what did we do? So what did we do so far? So the government, led by our Financial Intelligence Center, that is Brian Isep team, that's now Brian Asap team, went into overdrive. They really went into overdrive. For 2 years, they have been fixing these problems. You know, these 13, you know, issues that were slapped in our face. So they went out and they have been fixing these problems. Now, all these 13 deficiencies, okay, addressed. All right? They're all addressed. Now, the new law passed. There's also new law passed. Institution reformed, you know, system upgraded. So the cabinet gave, they gave it a full backing as well. The cabinet also gave a full backing. Resources were mobilized, you know, and everyone from the regulators to the police had to step up. Everyone has to step up. So, yeah, that's why all 13 divisions addressed. Okay, there was really concerted effort from everybody, from the cabinet to the police on the street. Okay, so then last month in Mexico, the FATF looked at our homework. No, those 13 deficiency. They looked at our homework and said, essentially, all right, Namibia, you are all right. Yeah, you ticked all the boxes. All right? You have done the paperwork. Now, you have done the paperwork. In fact, you have done it so well. They said, well, you outdone yourself. You actually outdone yourself, and we are holding you up as an example of other countries. So we were even hold up, like, okay, other countries that are still gray listed, look at Namibia. You know, look how good they have done. Now, this is now on paper. So when they look on paper, they think that we have ticked all the boxes. So we have done the paperwork. Now that's also very significant. Other African nations is in the same boat now, are now looking at and are looking at us and thinking, how did Namibia pull this off? Yeah? They're looking at that and asking themselves, how did we pull it off? It's something that we should be very grateful. I mean, it's something significant for Namibia, and we're being used as an example for other countries. I think that's a very good, whoever that involved in making sure that, you know, everything is done. So bravo, bravo, bravo. Okay. So, but there's a catch, and it is a big one. So there's a catch, and it is a big, big, big one. Now, passing the paper test is one thing, you know. Passing now the paper test is one thing. Yeah, proving it works in real life is another. Now, the things that you put in your paperwork, now you have to prove that it works in real life. Remember what I said, as I said earlier on. So you send your CV with all this qualification and you show that, you know, and they look at, wow, well, you fit our, that's why they call you for interview. You fit our, you know, what we're looking for. Okay. On a paperwork, we ace it. But now proving it works. Now you have to do, you have to walk the talk. Now we have to walk the talk. And that's why in April, just 2 months from now, inspectors from something called the Africa Joint Group are coming to Windhoek. They're coming to Windhoek. And they are not coming to read policy document that you have sent to them. No, they are coming to see if our reformed system actually work day to day. So they will come and see, is this working? On the paper, we are very good at that. That's also another one of our weaknesses. We're very good at papers. Very, very good at paper. Reinforcement, remember what we are talking about. Reinforcement has been always the issue. And hopefully this time we prepare ourselves. Well, you can look at this as like a snapshot anyway. You know, you prepare yourself. You prepare yourself for this event, and you may do well. But the question is that we'll be able to sustain that. Yeah? So, yeah, now, so they will come. They will come to see whether our reform system actually work on a day-to-day basis. So now, think of it like this, okay? As I said, I like to give scenarios. So think of it like a restaurant health inspection, okay? Now, you can have the best food safety manuals in the world, kind of like this is your say. Everybody look at that. Well, your food safety manual is top notch. But if the inspector walks in your kitchen and find a dirty counters or expired ingredient, you're still gonna get shut down. Eh? You're still gonna get shut down. So even if you have this food safety manual. So the best food safety manual. So far what we have is the best food safety manual. So now they have to come to our kitchen. So let's hope that they don't find dirty counters and expired ingredients, and that will make us still stay on that list. Now, these inspectors. So these inspectors will want to see cases, the case file. They want to come and see the case files. They will ask, are you actually investing money laundering? Are you actually investing this money laundering? And are you prosecuting people? They want to see that if we have people that we are prosecuting, are you, seizing asset? They want to see that we have seized asset of people that are involved. Can you show us the number? Can you prove your investigation actually match the actual financial crimes happening in Namibia? So all those kind of stuff. So that's what they on a nutshell, what they will be looking at. And here's where it's, maybe I can say that it gets a little bit tricky, Many countries fail at this stage. This is where many countries actually fail. Okay? So because it is easy, it's very easy to write a policy. Very easy to write a policy. I can write a policy. It is easy. So it is much harder to show that police are using financial intelligence to catch criminals. Do you understand? That court are handing down serious sentences, and that the whole system is genuinely deterring illegal activities. That's the most difficult thing. Policy is easy. And so far, that's what we have done. Okay? So now the hard part is coming. So what is at stake now here? So let's be clear. Let's be very clear about what's riding on this April inspection. So if we pass, okay, if we pass, Namibia get removed from the gray list. Okay, we get removed from the gray list at the FAT. All right, let's get to the caller quickly.
Very good morning to you.
Yes, that's the mic. You say we have a menu.
Our menu is very nice. It's very spicy and
nice, decorated and everything. Yeah.
But the inspector have to go to the kitchen,
Yeah. And you are not going to find the cockroaches.
He might find cockroaches and
flies everywhere and the soap.
You see? That's the challenge.
Too much dirt and what? No. What I can tell you, my friend, we are good in papers.
Yeah.
That's why our law. This is when compared to European countries.
Yeah.
Saying we have the best law, best police.
Yeah.
But in particular, what it comes to practice, nothing, zero.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying I'm asking, pleading for the research institution really to find out. Because that's what's holding us back. I think one thing that is holding us back, it's implementation, it's reinforcement.
I'm telling you, my friend. Mike, I think we are the best. Welcome to this, writing a nice CV, but when it comes to interview,
yeah,
we cannot even open our mouth.
This
is what you do, like, if you want to corner them, they will say, no, we die, we fought for this country, and we die. A person who is talking to you, die. But he's talking in front of you. He died for this country. Yeah? And some of them, they just went for snapshot shorter pictures. They never read in the forefront. People who have been suffering, they are still suffering today. Who are still in the forefront? That way, they will not do the decision what they are doing now. And I'm telling you, my friend, when it comes to this, you remember the other time we were having, what, last week? Yeah. Last week or this weekend? Where I'm arguing, you say, no, if we can join Moody to downgrade us, what's so difficult to join the association with? They are complying for us to comply, to show our company. Now, the topic we were talking about is almost not similar.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. Where they are treating workers, you see?
Yeah.
This is what I'm saying. We need to know those beneficiaries who are getting mine, share of mine, who are getting PPR. We need to know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, hiding it, you make it even worse. Look now, you think this Moji or whatever they want, they come to inspect you, you're not going to find the photo. They will.
Yeah.
So many. If you're ready, you are not complying with what you want, a tribunal of work. You are not even in. They're applying the law which you are saying in the paper.
Yeah.
There are so many. I think, unless maybe you can do something,
South Africa moved in October last year. In October, moved from the grey list. Maybe we follow them. We follow South Africa. We follow suit. Maybe we learn from them. Yeah.
But looking at our things which we are doing in Namibia, it's very hard for us to move out. Because if you look at corruption, it's out of roof. Every day you get this oil. You're talking about what? Namco, you're talking about fish lot, you're talking about diamond lot. So many.
Yeah.
Every day something is popping up. You had even the councillor eating money, the CEO is what? Suspended, the CEO is what? Hey.
Yeah. Well, that's what they want to see. They want to see that, okay, the people that have actually now mismanagement funds, how do you dealt with, you know? So they want to see that you're actually following your rules and your laws that you have in place. The money that have gone missing, how did you trace it?
How far did you trace it? The one for which bank is this one? And this one up to now, nobody has been there, they are accountable.
Yeah.
That means you are calling and you invest in that thing.
The fish load issues, the NAMCO issues, all those kind of things. How are you? Yeah, SME, all those kind of things. That's what they want to see.
Now they want to even to clear the people who are beneficiaries.
Yeah.
Come on, man. No. Wow. So many. There are so many things we need to track down for us to be clear.
Yeah.
Seriously. Otherwise,
it's a challenge. Most of the country don't pass that examination. So,
but if it's for Africa Africa, I think it will work. Remember one thing: we are in the same cahoot.
Yeah.
Unless if it were European who are having standard and they are coming, they know exactly what they mean, what the paper saying. And then I don't think so. But if it's our African guys, we will get away with it.
Yeah, this is first of, it's a group that's coming and that's going to be still tested at FATA, the FATF. You know, this is just coming now to see whether you are implementing the laws that you, whether you're actually doing what you're saying you have in your paper. So, and then they would then recommend to the FATF, the meeting in June, you know? So then it's where now they would decide to say, okay, we're going to take you off because we can see cases and things like that. Yeah.
This one, you are compliant.
Yeah. But
anyway, let us wait and see.
Yeah.
All right, Mike.
Great.
All right.
Imba ya rire ombwa nai ete paweza kwa ombu nikiro ombe ombi hukusha onjiviro yoye irire ombupu ohakane na wina ikare no matha kumurungu wa indu. Walirongere kusha umune ondengu okuura kwa imba. Una ovyu nerea peke kwa ondola mirongo vitatu na hambu umwe mumwe. So, tuika ovingi no kukara norupa ondando ya peke yukia nja oshimariva. Olo peresente dano kumyeze vitatu moshimariva. Olo peresente umurongo kumyeze hambu umwe moshimariva. Olo peresente umirongo ivari na dano. Pomyede murongwa na vivari moshimarifu. Itororera ondengu chima yu ungura na wakove na wina onyanu kife. Ashiesho imba ye kupe oshimariva shishihina omarifiro. Imba o maoronga neno uye kuhaka enina. Itako na wina rishangika jinon.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the I.
All right, welcome back. Welcome back. And we're looking at Namibia, the possibility of Namibia actually being removed from the grey list at the FATF. If we pass the inspection, if we pass the experiential. So the April inspection is very important. If we pass, Namibia gets removed from the grey list at the FATF meeting in June. And that sent a powerful message. Okay? That sent a powerful message that Namibia is safe to do business with. Okay? We cannot just say, yeah, we can do business with us, but now that would be a powerful message to the world that Namibia is safe to do business with. Our bank can operate normally internationally. Investor get confidence. And our reputation is restored. So our reputation would be then restored. But if we fail, well, the clock keeps ticking. The clock will keep ticking. So the reputational damage continues. You know, our bank keep paying higher costs for international transactions because, you know, you are listed as a higher risk. You know, foreign investor stays cautious. Okay, we have those still coming, but there are those who will be very cautious and they may go elsewhere. And every Namibian business trying to, and those now, our Namibian business who are trying to compete globally keeps fighting with one hand tied behind their back. So because whoever coming from Namibia business, coming doing a business with Namibian, what actually coming from a country that has been listed as higher risk, so definitely it becomes more difficult. So compliance specialist in Mintic, we have one in Mintic who put it bluntly, grey list exits are not granted on promises, okay? So what we have done so far, we indicated that this is what we're going to do or this is what we're doing. It's a promise, but it's not granted on the promise. So the reviewers want proof that our sanctions and investigations are real, sustained, and actually discouraging criminals. So that's what they want to see. And they are going to test our system hard, really. So but here's that, the thing is that this is not just, we have to look at it in a bigger picture. We have to look at it in a very bigger picture where we're not just doing this. We're not just following, the international rule for the sake of it. Okay. It's not just about following international rule for the sake of it. So money laundering and financial crime hurt us directly. So we're not just doing this for the international rules, but these things hurt us. So if you hear how much money that Africa lost through laundering and financial crime, it's billions in a year. Billion in a year. Billions and billions in a year. So when criminal can move dirty money through our system without consequences, it actually distort our economy. It does distort our economy. So it means that, you know, it means drug dealers, drug dealers, corrupt officials, organized crime can operate with impunity. So they can operate with impunity. So this is very important. It's not, as I said, it's not just for international rules. So they can operate with impunity. It undermines legitimate business who play by the rules. Yeah? So this April inspection, it's about satisfying international inspectors, yes, but it's also about proving to ourselves that we have built a financial system with integrity. So we have, and even for us citizens, we should be, I would be happier, if these, whatever things that we have done now are in place. This shows our financial integrity, our financial system integrity. So, yeah, it's proving to ourselves that we have built, a financial system with integrity, that when someone breaks the law in Namibia, these are consequences, that our institution work. That's what you want. So, yeah, and as it's not just about international inspectors. It's about us as well. Our financial systems have integrated. So, and the Financial Intelligence Center says they have coordinating, they are coordinating with everyone for this, and with everyone, regulators, police, supervisory bodies, to be ready for April. Okay? So, to be ready for April. And the political backing is there as well. So the technical fixes are done. But as one expert noted, this is the make or break moment. So these are make or break moment. It's an audit of our institutional resolves.
Eagle FM, welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
Hmm.
Yeah, okay, labor, we'll leave it for now, because you see, labor, I think this new administration is just adopted the one that was using for contract hire, what was, which was happened those years.
Okay, we got to, it's the first story. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Mm. Okay. But let's look at this one now.
Yeah.
This one, for this financial or money laundering issue.
Yeah.
It's not easy for Namibia, because if you look at that 12 billion or how much was it,
which one is that?
One article which is Ipumbu was also there, how they leaving those money
The GIPF? Is it the GIPF?
Was it the GIPF?
Yeah, I think
something
from,
like that.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, that went for a decade, I think. Yeah, those are the issues that people are getting richer because of transaction. Yeah, they are got paid. And I hear there is some people that was arrested in Boso and Penguindo because of opening up an account, which is, there is no proving of source of income.
Yeah. But those are the things that they want to see, that they want to inspect. Yeah.
Yeah. Because we have a lot of people that they are said they are self-employed, and you finding them depositing 10,000 per day.
That's even less. Could be half a million,
Yeah, those are now the things that, if you ask him, what do you do? You're telling you that I'm a businessman. That is all of them.
And you cannot trace how he has actually got that money.
So what type of
work is done,
Of active that is doing. So those are now the issues that it happened in Namibia, because I'm also sometimes asking, you saw those, some boys in there driving a car with $500,000.
Yeah.
And they're all watching, sitting in the bar. Ask yourself a question now, that which time is doing business? So, yeah, there is a lot that it can, yeah.
And there's a lot, actually, by just highlighting that, you can, you really think there's a lot that is happening. There's a lot of money, financial crimes in Namibia.
Yeah, yeah. But that is what Mementumbo was complaining in South Africa. He said, yeah, why are you agreeing? But if you look at, if you look at the people that want to do business,
yeah,
they can't do business because there is those one that is boosted by financial crime. Yeah, because it call it well connected in Namibia, but if you look at in their chain, you will see that this father of this boy is stealing money where now is giving to him. Yeah, no, it's not easy. Namibia is not on the on the player field. No. This is a shady business.
Yeah.
So those are the problems that we have. Yeah. I don't know whether we are. And come to the resources also. It's the same issue. It's the same issue that we are not give people to do business or to hire others.
Yeah.
And look at now that from your first topic now. Subcontract. Who are those people that subcontract others? It means they are not Namibians.
Yeah, who these middlemen who they're subcontracting are the middlemen. So who are they? You know, who have the capacity who have the capacity actually to hire, you know.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, see, sometimes I get tired even to read your FMD.
Yeah.
So the issue that was that arising, it was not clear because they say for you to winning a market, all your cattle needed to be vaccinated with the food and mouth. They must having a record of that. So those one now is what I saw, because comparing with other countries, African countries that they are doing business with the world, it's only Namibia, Botswana, Zimbabwe, and South Africa that are having big or many tonnages into supplying in Europe and in Northern America and Canada.
Yeah.
But Ghana, Cameroon, Cote d'Ivoire, and others, they are not reaching that number. Even if they are 10 to 30 thousand tons. So, which means they are not controlling. It's the same with the North. If you are convincing, that's why I want you to come back to this topic and finding somebody in the North.
Yeah.
Those four regions. One in Katima, one is in that area of Congo and Kabango, and the other one is for Mangetu Atuat, and the one for the West. So that we can see whether they are really understanding of controlling this foot and mouth from the government. Yeah, because it's what they are saying. I think that Tate must go and see the proper procedure of the foot and mouth. Yeah, because that is what is blocking even in a, we have, yes, everywhere in the world, they have a food and mouth zone, but they are controlling it. Like where we are having those. Because what food and mouth is coming from the buffaloes, from the wildlife.
From the wildlife.
So that is, that is what now, if you look at the water belt in Tokitupa region, we have a buffalo there, but they are controlled. That's why this was one of the biggest supply of meat. So those are the things that you need to understand. That is not when you have a card, because they are talking about even a tracing tag, that they are also tracing those cards when you are going to go to Mitco. And they said if the card, the cattle is not vaccinated, we are not surviving the quarantine.
Yeah.
You understand? Yeah, that is what in the human business which I was talking about yesterday. That no. Most of the I don't know about their how do they do their vaccinated thing on those commercial farms, but if you asking them, they have also, and if you can find one of those ones also to tell us that how do they win the market, why they are being trusted by the abattoir and by the European market.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, thank you for that.
All right. Thank you for coming, sir.
All right, man.
Well, time is 9:45, and unpacking the day goes up to 10:00, when we will be handing over now to Tate France, who's coming who's coming with Kutha Mosha around 10 o'clock. So good morning and welcome, welcome. So yeah, we're looking at the Namibia, to what we're trying to get off from the grey listing. So the Financial Intelligence Centers says they are coordinating with everyone, regulators, police, supervisory bodies, to be ready for April. From the callers, they said, well, it's going to be tough. It's going to be very, very difficult. Of course, we also have the political backing as well. And so what they say is that, well, the technical fixes are done. But also, but as one expert, you know, noted, this is, as I said, this is a made or break moment, you know, and it's an audit of our institutional resolve. So what have we done so far? So, yeah, we have, it's like a student. You have studied. We have rewritten the playbook. We have restructured our entire approach to financial oversight. Now comes the exam. Now comes the exam. And unlike a school test where you might scrapple by with the pass, you know, this one requires to demonstrate. It requires to demonstrate excellence, really excellence. Not a paper, not on the paper, but in practice. So that is what it requires us to do. So, and, from here, maybe what we need to remember, after this, I'll do that after this commercial. Stay tuned.
Omutiha kutekirwa kaguna ii matina omjo. Chikao shafaa sana na nonge shifaa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moya o, ota ingongo tisa mwene. Anange shifaa ya Namibia, ompito ombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayakuro nirandi soma yoe, yonge shifaa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uka kombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimwepo yo mo programa detu. Moambo, dengira selma, konarahita tuimu. Datu, heari hamano tano, o niyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend.
All right, welcome back. Welcome back. It's 48 minutes past the hour of 9. And about 11 minutes before 10 o'clock. All right. Maybe what we need to remember from our discussion, from this discussion, Namibia has fixed 13 major weaknesses in our financial system. These have done over the 2 years. The FATF acknowledge we have done the work. So from the meeting in Mexico, they said, well done, Namibia. And your paper looks very clean, looks very well. Everything, you seem to have fixed everything on paper. But in April, the inspectors arrive to verify everything, actually function as intended. Okay. So that's where now the whole, how would I say? That's where the sweat will be. That's where they will set. If we pass, we off the gray list by June. By June, we should be off a good, that will be good for our country, for investment, for good, good for our banks, good for our own reputation as a country. Well, we don't want to think about the other part. So if we don't, well, we stay flagged. We stay, you know, the costs keep mounting, you know, it keep mounting. So yeah, the technical hurdle is clear, is cleared. The technical hurdle has been cleared. So we have done the paperwork is done. Now comes the test of credibility. So are we credible? What we have put on paper can be tested. Can that be tested? And is it credible? So April will tell us whether Namibia has truly turn the corner. And whether we are still just, we are still just good at writing policies. So which is something that we are very, 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 very good at. Okay? So, yeah. So we still have about 9 minutes. So what do you think? What is your take on that? 083-3366 is the number you can call. 083-3366. 091. Yeah, so you can, yeah, any one of the stories, even from the morning, even from the early morning scoop, is there anything that you want to touch on? Maybe you didn't get a time to call then, so you're most welcome to come through and just have your say, have your take. So there's also something maybe that I can touch on, you know, it's about a 61.5% of 61.5 tax on certain good imported from China that has been explained. Found this very interesting, you know. That's right. Let's say you're scrolling your phone and you see a nice jacket online. So you see a nice jacket online, the price looks good. You are thinking, yes, this is affordable. But then wait for it. So as you wait for it, when that package arrives at our borders, suddenly you are paying more than 60% extra in taxes. 61.5% to be exact. That's right. Now, your $100 jacket just became a $160 jacket. So, welcome to the reality of importing goods from China into Namibia. Now, in December last year, the Namibia Revenue Agency, NAMRA, clarified that good imported from countries such as China attract custom fees of 45%. So it attracts actually custom fees of 45% plus an import tax of 15.5%. So if you add that, if you total that together, so it gives you a 61.5%. So, yeah. Now, so the agency now explained what that actually means. So, and here's the thing. Namibia and China don't have what is called the bilateral trade agreement. Yeah, they don't have what is called bilateral agreement. Think of trade agreement like friendship, you know, maybe a friendship bracelet. So kind of, you know, that kind of bracelet between countries. Now think of it like that. So when two countries have this bracelet, they say, hey, we are friends. So let's make it easier and cheaper to trade with each other. So, but Namibia and China, no bracelet, no special deal, nothing. Now, so what happens? Now, China gets treated like any other country we don't have a special agreement or special arrangement with. NAMRA called this the most favored nation rate. So they said most favored nation rate, which ironically is not very favored. So it's not favorable. Ironically, it's not favorable at all when you are the one paying, you know? Now, how does that work actually? So how the math works, let me walk you through how they arrive at this 61.5%. So it's not one big tax. So it's not like this one big tax. So it is two tax stacked on top of each other, like what? Like a rose, like those Russian dollars, like Russian dolls, you know, the Russian dolls. You might not know. So, okay. Now, first, there's customer duty, 45% on a certain items, 45% on certain items, especially clothing. Now, then on top of that, they add our regular VIT, 16.5%. So add them together and boom, 61.5% total. Who said I don't know math? I do. I wasn't good at it, but well, I love numbers. Okay. So even if I wasn't bad. Okay. Understand this. I wasn't bad. It's just because we didn't have really good teachers. We had a very Ndonga guys who actually used to teach us math, you know, and when he come in class, he would spend time actually trying to do, to solve the problem, you know, math problems. He would spend the whole, he comes in and he can work on his own. He's just working on his own. He's not explaining to us. He's working on the blackboard. Call them blackboard, okay? On the blackboard. He's working on his own and blackboard. And when he couldn't solve, when he couldn't solve the problems, he would actually tell us, you know, so. You know? So, and, he just said, look, for example, in the book, and he didn't solve anything. He didn't talk to us how to solve the problems. He just said, look, tara koi hoe wa mempo. But he couldn't manage. All right. So, yeah. So, but here's what is important. Okay. Dear listeners. So, not everything from China get hit this hard, okay? It's not everything that it's got a 45%. So this is not a blanket punishment on all Chinese good. So it depends entirely on what you are importing. So NAMRA uses something called the harmonized system. The harmonized system basically is an international product catalog. It's a product catalog that every country actually uses. Now, each product has a code, and that code determines how much tax you pay. So, yeah. So which product are we talking about now? So mainly clothing and footwear. You know, footwear. If you are importing shirts, dresses, shoes, you know, those items under chapter 61 to 66 of the tariff book. So you are looking at duties between 20 and 45%. So as you can see there, look at that. So then add VAT on top of that. So that's how it works. Other things, plastic bathroom fixtures, for example, when 20 to 30% duty. Car tires, 36 to 43%. Even vehicle get hit with 25%. So they are very clear. They are there. So now think about it. What this means for a small. Now I want to know when you have now to think about this in terms of our small business owners. Who trying to stock their shops, or think about everyday Namibian trying to save money by ordering online, because that has become a thing now. So that's a good deal, you know, from China. Suddenly it doesn't look like a good deal anymore. So, and we need to learn, how this works. And to be honest, And I think the question we should be asking is, why do we have, and it's a very important one, why don't we have a trade agreement with China, actually? That is the elephant in the room, isn't it? That should be the elephant in the room. Okay? China is the world manufacturing powerhouse. They are Africa's biggest trading partner. So, but Namibia standing here alone, it doesn't have the special relationship that could lower lower these barriers? Well, maybe it's going to change because there will be a zero tariff to 53 countries from African countries. Maybe that will change. So let's hope that's going to change. So and looking at that, really, NAMRA is just doing its job. I think there has been some, you know, cry about NAMRA. When you look at that, they're just doing actually job. They're just following what is internationally followed, you know, collecting the taxes that our law require. They're just doing their job. We have to ask ourselves, is this serving Namibian interest? Or are we protecting local industries? Or are we just making life more expensive for ordinary people who don't have many alternatives? Rather than, like, you know, you have to order from country like that. Because here is the reality. The reality is that we are not manufacturing most of these goods locally. So it's not that, you know, so when you tax Chinese clothing at 45%, you are not necessarily protecting Namibian clothing manufacturer, because we don't have. You're actually not protecting your market, your clothing manufacturer in domestically. You might just be making Namibian pay more. What you're actually making us, pay more. That is the problem. Yeah. So that is the problem. So yeah, to be fair to NAMRA, they are trying to be transparent about this. They have created an online tool, the e-tariff duty estimator. Look at that. You know, people don't want to read. You don't want to learn. Eh? Get information. Go to e-tariff duty estimator. Okay, from at NAMRA. So where you can now check beforehand how much you will pay. So they are saying, look, we didn't make up this rate. You can be able to do that. These are international framework we are following. That would what NAMRA would tell you. And that's true. But transparency, it doesn't solve the affordability problems. I think, yes, as I said, that's transparency, but that affordability problem is still an issue. All right, yes. The 61.5% tax on Chinese good isn't arbitrary. It is because we don't have a trade deal with China. It's mainly affect clothing, shoes, certain other consumer goods that many Namibian rely on from China. So this is a policy. It's a policy choice. Other countries have negotiated better terms with China, and we haven't. So yeah. So while NAMRA is being transparent about how they calculate these changes, we need to have a bigger conversation about whether this serves Namibia's economic interest or just make it life harder for everyday people. So what the question we should all be asking our leader is simple. In a world where trade relationship matter, where does Namibia stand? And are we negotiating the best deal for our people? Well, that's Unpacking the Day for today. Until next time, I'm leaving you in a very, very, very good hand of Mbarangaja, who's coming with Kuthamosha. I have taken up 5 minutes of his. So, Mr. Franz, I'm handing over the mic to you. And, well, from me, Michael Shaveli, let's do this tomorrow again.
Thank you, Mr. Mike.
On your favorite station, Eagle FM. I'm Mike Oshaveli. Goodbye for now. Until tomorrow.